Here's a simple way to stay connected on the go. Join KHQ on Facebook and Twitter and be a part of the conversation. Just like KHQ Local News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter before your next stop. Experience why more people follow KHQ Local News than any other station in the Inland Northwest. Be the first to know about breaking news, weather, and all the stories creating a social media swirl. Sign up, sound off, stay connected. KHQ Local News, right now.
Welcome to Let's Talk Spokane, where veteran host Kent Adams seeks out and discusses the latest on a variety of hot topics.
And good day to you. We have a couple of interesting gentlemen on an interesting topic today. And it's been in the news because the Spokane City Council has been discussing this so-called earned safe and sick leave. Is that the correct? Okay, it is the correct title. Most of us know it as mandatory overtime. No, well, it's not the overtime so much.
Mandatory paid sick leave.
Paid sick leave, yes. And my guest today, I'm very pleased to have, from the Spokane Home Builders Association, Michael Cathcart, and from the Washington Policy Center. Did I say that right? Okay. And you guys have to have these long names, you know. Chris Cargill. And it's good to have both of you here. We've been seeing on TV, we've been reading in the newspaper, for those who can still read. We ought to talk someday about education, but that's a whole nother issue. But as we look at all of this, it's down to the point where, a couple of months ago, they formed a committee or a task force to go out. And Michael, you were a part of that task force, right? And what was your assignment at that point?
Well, the purpose of the task force was to come together and discuss the idea of mandated sick leave and see if a policy recommendation could come out of that group to go to the city council to be considered.
Okay. And so there were what, 15, 20 of you?
There were 12 members.
12, okay.
Plus a facilitator who didn't have a voter.
Okay, like that. Okay. And Chris, why is this important to us as a community to be looking at the costs involved to businesses? Because that's really what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, what we're talking about here is whether the city government should be requiring, or any government should be requiring, businesses to offer mandatory paid sick leave to every employee that they have. And so these type of mandatory requirements are very rare, and for good reason. So if you look around the country, there are only 18 other cities around the country that have these type of requirements in place. So Spokane would be the 19th city if we were to adopt this. There are only three other cities in the state that have this requirement: Seattle, SeaTac, and Tacoma. And we've seen these type of policies put in place before, and what we have seen is that they really have a lot of unintended consequences. And so I'm glad that today we're talking about this issue, and I'm glad Michael also served on this work group, because this is a conversation that we've been having for the past few months here in Spokane, and talking about not only the impact that it has on small businesses, but perhaps more importantly, the impact that it has on the very people that proponents say it's supposed to help.
Well, and always for these kinds of things, it's supposed to help somebody, but there are those unintended consequences and people losing jobs and everything else that goes with it. But somehow we've framed it too often, at least in our local city council, kind of losing the track of the free market system, and that the seven of them or so seem to know better and what's best for the free market. And Michael, I got to ask you, sitting on that task force, what did you think when was it presented as something to look at and come back with a recommendation, or was it presented by the council to make it work?
Well, my interpretation,
because that's two different directions,
right? Absolutely. And my interpretation going in was that we were going to look at data, analyze what other cities have done, and see what the impacts on Spokane might be, and determine if a sick leave policy would be something that would be good for Spokane,
right,
if it would reach the goals that the council has said that they have for helping public health and issues like that. So that was my expectation going in, but that really was not what occurred on that work group.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's kind of remarkable, and I attended the meetings as well, just to kind of listen into what was happening. I think it's kind of remarkable that the work group itself didn't really take a look at whether the policy was really needed to begin with. In fact, it was more of just a discussion of how, as you said, Kent, how do we make this work? What kind of policy?
Predetermined.
Yeah, exactly.
Outcome.
What kind of policy is best for Spokane really wasn't a topic of discussion. It was, how are we going to put this in place in the city of Spokane?
In fact, on that issue, I sent a couple of emails to the work group and the city council suggesting that the discussion of the need should be our first priority. And once we settle that issue, we can move forward.
Right, right.
I brought it up at each of the three meetings that we held, and it was brought up, I think, as the 57th question on our list of topics to consider, and we had about 2 minutes to talk about it on the very last meeting of the work group. So it was not a priority whatsoever to talk about the need.
That's really interesting.
And this work group, Kent, and this is a policy, and we're going to talk about some of the specifics in terms of the economics of it. This is a policy that's going to impact a lot of businesses, going to impact a lot of employees throughout the city. But this work group was allowed to meet for 2 hours in three different meetings. So we're talking about a total of 6 hours. 6 hours total to come up with a policy that's going to have a huge, huge impact on not only businesses, but employees in the city of Spokane.
The question I would ask based on what I'm hearing so far is, was the setting up of this work group that you call, and that they called it, was it really window dressing? In the sense of, well, look now, this committee, this task force has come back with this recommendation, which is really, you know, what you kind of ended up with, even though your first question, is it needed, wasn't answered.
Well, I think there's some level of that, because the original discussion was to have a work group of 12 members.
Okay.
And when the recommendation came out of city council on who they were going to appoint, it was 11 members. And myself from the Spokane Home Builders was not one of those members chosen. And so I sent a last minute email asking them to reconsider and indeed appoint me to the work group. And actually, thanks to Council President Ben Stuckert and Councilwoman Stratton and Councilman Fagan and Allen, we were able to make that happen. But I think the intent originally was to try and just move this through with as much cheerleading as possible,
yeah.
So that they could have a policy and they could say, well, we had some business there.
Right.
We had some various
right.
constituents from different stakeholders at present for this work group. But I don't know what their true expectation was, but I don't think it was to have a real robust discussion.
No, apparently not.
Issue.
In 6 hours, I'm sorry.
No.
And how much of staff work was done? Was there,
There was a good amount.
Have to have it. I mean,
that's
I understand
right.
that.
The council president had Adam McDaniel, his assistant, was kind of fully focused on this, and he was doing some research behind the scenes and providing
sure.
some stuff. But even when you account for that, it was very minimal in terms of the body of data that we should have been looking at and analyzing and saying, okay, you know, this city's size and geography is this, and how does that relate to Spokane, and their sick leave went into place here, and how has that impacted their business and
exactly.
and economy, and we just didn't do that kind of research and analysis. So
it's interesting, because if you look back, 3 years, 4 years ago, it was Ben Stuckert that was really pushing for an initiative here in Spokane, a tax to help improve the graduation rate. Remember, and they had these successful operations in other places, which actually, when you dug deep into them, weren't that successful. And it's interesting that was voted down, as I thought it should have been, even though it had some business support in some areas. And I think it was, yes, we need to improve the graduation rate at high schools. And I understand that need. But without that program, without that infusion of dollars that would have actually gone to an organization that he was heading at the time, somehow those rates have come up.
Yeah, the graduation rate has come up.
Yeah, and so maybe it's not just money we throw at these things, which lends me to the next question of the individuals that would be affected by this. I want to talk about the businesses too, but yeah. I want to talk, let's first focus on the effect to the person who's making $10.52 an hour right now, and that that they need some time off because they're sick and everything else. Talk about that, would you? Because I know you've done the research.
Right. So the question when you're trying to figure out how many people would be impacted by this, the first thing you need to determine is how many businesses are there in the city of Spokane.
Okay.
And so we did the analysis and determined there are about 12,000 businesses in the city of Spokane. So then you need to determine how many people actually work for those businesses that are located in the city of Spokane.
Okay.
And the number is about 146,600 people work for the businesses, those 12,000 businesses that are located in the city of Spokane. So then what you have to do, and you kind of have to follow the bouncing ball here, is that then you have to determine, okay, using Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers, determine what the average cost to an employer is for paid sick leave. And that cost is about 25 cents per hour.
Okay.
So then what you have to do is also figure out, okay, what is the average or what's the national rate of private sector workers that don't receive paid sick leave? It's about 39%.
Okay.
So if you take 39% of that 146,000 that we were talking about, you're at right about 57,000 people roughly in the city that do not have some sort of paid sick leave. The Spokane Alliance says that they probably agree with that number. They put out around the same range of
So you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, we're right in the ballpark. If you do the quick math there, assuming that those workers clock the national average of about 1,700 hours per year, the cost to employers in the city of Spokane for this policy would be about $24 million per year. Now, that's that's exactly right. That's just the employers that we're talking about in the city, and that's just the ones that don't have, the workers, I should say, that don't have paid sick leave.
Right.
Now you're not talking about the folks who may already have some sort of paid sick leave that you may have to increase the amount of sick leave.
Okay.
You're talking about as well folks who are businesses that may be located outside of the city that may do business inside of the city that would also be impacted by this because that's one of the provisions and the requirement. So that $24 million number is a very conservative estimate. It could very well be a lot higher than that. But the impact for businesses in the city is about $24 million per year. So back to that number of hours that the work group worked on this policy.
Right.
6 hours for a $24 million per year policy is something that's is something that you just kind of shake your head at.
Now, what do you mean by 6 hours for?
6 hours is how long they worked. The work group worked on a policy that's going to
end up costing
$24 million a year for businesses in the city. And that's just for the business cost. Then you start getting into the cost for employees.
Right.
Now, if you're just an employee who doesn't necessarily have paid sick leave, you think that, well, hey, this is going to be a nice benefit for me.
Sure.
But then you have to start looking at some of the other examples, Seattle, San Francisco, some of the other examples of cities that have adopted policies like this. And what you see is that businesses just don't start giving this stuff away. They start making changes to other types of benefits.
Right.
Or they increase the cost of doing business. They increase their prices. They do all sorts of things.
You mean it doesn't just come out of the sky?
No, it doesn't. You're exactly right. In a survey in Seattle, 56% of Seattle small business owners said the new law in Seattle, they expected it to increase the cost of doing business. 11.7% of workers in Seattle saw their bonuses, take-home pay, or vacation time reduced because of the paid sick leave ordinance in the city of Seattle. Another 8.2% of employers raised prices on consumers. So you're talking about trade-offs here.
Yeah, yes.
We'll give you paid sick leave, but as a result of that, we're going to trim back bonuses, or you're not going to get some sort of extra vacation time, or perhaps your healthcare benefits. I mean, if you come to work for me, Kent, and I'm a small business owner, and let's say we've worked out a deal where I'm going to offer you 5 days of paid sick leave a year, but I'm also going to offer you a really generous vacation package or healthcare package or something.
Right.
The city council is going to come in and say, no, Kent, we know better than that, and we're going to require that you offer your employee 10 paid sick days or whatever the number may be. And then I have to go to you and say, Kent, well, I have to change all your benefits, or I have to change your benefit package around, because the local government's coming in and telling me what I'm offering you is now illegal.
Well, and because that business pretty much has fixed costs and so
That's
forth
right.
that you know, they're looking at their annual budget, and now, okay, if it's going to increase by X dollars, X dollars need to come from somewhere.
That's right. You know? That's right. And you may have been very happy with the benefit package that we worked out.
Right.
And you may use all your paid sick time, you may not, but then the government's going to come in and say, well, we think that you should have more paid sick time.
Right.
And as a result of that, well, Kent, I have to reduce the maybe the end of year bonus that I give you.
Right.
Or the vacation time that I give you.
I want to know where this is. I get a end of the year bonus. I'm going to sign up. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Michael and Chris. Good discussion, good information. This is an important topic.
You're listening to SpokaneTalksOnline.com, Spokane and North Idaho's business and community talk station.
To report unflinchingly and in-depth news, sports, and weather. 10 additional pages of entertainment every Friday in 7. Twice a week coverage of all things outdoors. At the table, on the go, in the moment, for as little as $1 a week. The Spokesman Review keeps you connected to the community whenever and wherever you choose. Your trusted partner for stories that matter for 131 years and counting. Visit spokesman.com and subscribe to the experience.
To help you be safe, Washington state law requires you to call 811 two full business days before you plan, for example, to dig, drill, plow, pull from, or pound anything into the ground. Be prepared to provide the operator with the correct address, cross street, and the description of your work. You must mark the dig area with white paint. The operator will inform you of the utilities notified of your impending excavation. Wait for all their marks. Be safe and dig with care.
Well, welcome back. We're having a lively discussion and on a very important topic. It's called the Earned Safe and Sick Leave, which is another way of getting paid for some time off when you've got a headache or maybe a very legitimate reason. But we've all faced employers and job opportunities where we've sometimes had to make the decision to show up for work even if we don't feel the greatest and so forth. And pleased to have Michael with the Spokane Home Builders Association, who was on the workforce assigned by the City Council, and Chris from the Washington Policy Center. So let's get back into the discussion, because you were talking about, both of you were talking about the impact on business and the 24 plus million dollars that it's going to cost in additional costs in a 1 year period of time. And that's probably a very conservative number. But, you know, in getting money from one pot over here to pay for this that is now mandated. So now your coverage in medical or your coverage in vacation or whatever is going to be less, and so on and so forth, and the impact that it's going to have on the business owner to try to figure this all out. We've seen what they've gone through in the last couple of years with the Obamacare and so forth, and the world was just turned upside down, and even some of the experts the first year from insurance and so forth weren't sure what the plans were, and now we're talking about another imposition on business owners. And for the life of me, I don't understand why they can't endorse the free market system, but you look at the makeup of the council, and maybe I do understand. But what is the impact on the employee now? Okay, I'm working for a company, and now I'm going to get the equivalent of, based on the study and what you did, Michael, how many days a year am I going to get on this?
Well, the work group came back with a range, and the range was 24 hours to 72 hours of paid time off a year. And the 24 hours is what I was really pushing for. I said, okay, look, if you're going to have a policy, this is supposed to be a floor. So make it as low as possible,
right,
so businesses can at least try and climb on top of it and achieve it.
Right. Without going out of business.
Without going out of business or having some pretty negative impacts. What the council came back with was a policy so far that says 5 days. And so 40 hours of paid time off.
Okay.
And with a potential small business exemption for 1 to 4 employees, meaning if you're a small business that has fewer than 5 employees, you might be able to have this exemption. That remains to be seen. The council hasn't settled on a final policy yet, so that can still change. And so that was the recommendation coming out of our work group. And that really wasn't based on any study or any research. It was really just...
Kind of a sounds nice.
Yeah. And I mean, I would like to think that most of the members of the work group did a lot of research on our own. I know I did. I spent a lot of time combing through a lot of this documentation. But as a work group, we did not go through all of those pieces. And in fact, in the white paper that the city council put out when they released this draft ordinance, it says, quote, according to those who have gone before Spokane on this policy, the economic impacts as a result of businesses coming into compliance with this policy will be small and will likely mirror the negligible impacts witnessed in other cities. Well, there's absolutely no
evidence. Where'd that come from?
Absolutely. As Chris pointed out, that there are impacts that we've seen in other cities. And anybody who thinks that the impacts we've seen in cities like Seattle or San Francisco, whose economies are far greater than Spokane's, won't be seen in Spokane or won't be at least worse, if not the same, I think is kidding themselves. So what we really need to do is we need to analyze how this is going to impact a city like Spokane. I mean, we are geographically unique. We are economically unique. We have so many different characteristics from these other cities that need to be looked at and researched and analyzed. And the other piece I would just point out as well is the Spokane Regional Health District did a survey of local workers and trying to talk look at the how sick leave would impact them and what the current rates of sick leave policy or what sick leave rates are currently.
Right.
And what they found was very interesting is that according to their survey, of those that have no paid sick leave, 66.5% see it as something that is unimportant, somewhat unimportant, or very unimportant to have.
Interesting.
So 66% of those that don't currently have sick leave don't see it as a priority that they need to be concerned with. And don't get me wrong, there are some people that have, certainly have family issues, and they have some sickness issues of their own, and they obviously need to be considered in this. But I think the best thing that the city council or government could be doing is to be finding a ways to enhance their employment opportunities to move their way up the career ladder. A lot of these jobs that don't offer sick leave are entry-level jobs.
And meant to be entry-level.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other really interesting data point coming out of the Spokane Regional Health District survey talks about the question is, if you become sick, at what point would you stay home from work? And one of the big arguments for sick leave is the public health aspects of this, that it's going to improve public health.
And I think of like waiters or cooks or
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Right.
First would be my first thinking.
Absolutely. And so when you look at this, and they have it divided by those without paid sick leave, those with paid sick leave, or those with paid time off, which would encompass vacation time and everything
right.
in one. And it says that those that would wait until they experience the full effect of symptoms, meaning they're already contagious, they're already passing it on, 49.2% of those with paid sick leave and 52.5% of those with PTO would wait until that point in time before they would take time off. So. And there's a lot more data here, and I noticed we don't have time to go into all of it, but it's really...
But did this work group look at any of this data? Why not?
No. Well, this specific survey wasn't available until after our work group completed.
Okay. But did they look at like type?
No.
Because they were headlong wanting to get this done.
We had a meeting a week for 3 weeks.
Yes.
2 hours each meeting. And that was it. And it concluded after that third meeting. We really didn't come. We should be coming back and analyzing this type of data. When this becomes available, that work group should come back and analyze it and discuss it and say, okay, how is this going to impact Spokane workers? And that's just not happening.
Is this being driven primarily by Ben?
No.
Or is it the council?
I think members of the council. It's a majority of the council that feels that this is a policy that they and or their base wants to see put into place.
Right.
I don't know that it's any one member per se that's pushing it, but a majority of the council is looking at this.
Well, and the majority of the council is not really pro-business. It's pro-helping the little guy that doesn't want to get an education, doesn't want to get a job, doesn't, you know.
Well, and you know, to the point of helping the little guy, and this type of policy actually can do more harm than good to help the little guy.
Yes.
And this is a quote from a study that the Urban Institute did specifically on the San Francisco paid sick leave policy.
Okay.
Where they say they looked at employer perspectives of San Francisco's policy, and this is quoting them, 3 small retail and 2 restaurant employers felt they could no longer afford to maintain previous rates of incentive-based wage growth. One explained that as paid sick leave added another component to labor costs and each employee's net pay, he does not promote employees or provide wage raises as quickly as he otherwise would. In his words, quote, if you're at $10, you're going to stay there that much longer to make up for the additional expense.
And that's essentially what you were saying earlier, mm-hmm. that you're going to have to take it from somewhere.
Right.
Because unless the business person, the owner of the business, is pretty darn good to increase their sales and everything else by 5 or 10% in a short period of time, he's got to take, or she, has got to take the dollars from somewhere.
Right. The money's going to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And some business owners don't have a high profit margin. Some may have a high profit margin.
Right.
And to the point about Michael was saying about the 1 to 4 employees, businesses.
Right.
63% of the businesses in our city are those 1 to 4 employee businesses, 63%.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of small business employees.
I wonder what, and I'm just thinking out loud, what impact this will have for some to move outside the city.
Well, that's an interesting aspect to this too, because it doesn't exempt occasional employees. So if you're a business that does work in the city, whether you're based in the Valley, the county, Moses Lake,
oh, really?
You would be required to comply with this if you're
for
workers.
All of your employees or just for that one employee
well,
that comes to town?
That remains to be seen. That's a question that's sort of up in the air
right
now.
But we all can guess where that's going.
Yes, yes. It'd be very hard, I think, it'd be very hard to enforce on those employees that are not working in the city.
Yeah.
But it would impact those employees that do, and whether you're a delivery company or a construction
yes.
company, I mean, it would have impacts on you, even if you're based outside the city.
Right.
And as part of the policy, they suggest hiring 2 enforcement officers at a cost of about $160,000 to taxpayers to enforce this paid sick leave policy. That's in the proposal.
But eventually, they want to create a whole new department. That
well, of course. Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, if we could run our city government or any of our government like we do a business, we wouldn't have some of these issues. Thank you, gentlemen. Michael Cathcart from the Spokane Home Builders Association. Did I get it right?
You did, yeah.
And from the Washington Policy Center, Chris Cargill. Thank you for coming. And this is an important topic. And what do we expect to see in the next few weeks? Are we expecting to see some action?
Yeah, my understanding is there was a push to have a vote on August 17th.
Okay.
That has since been delayed. Tentatively, my understanding is that one council member who is in the majority that wants is supportive of a sick leave policy wants some time to do some additional research and study. So for those who are concerned about this, now is the time to be reaching out
to
your city
council member. Right.
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Let's Talk Spokane is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask us a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Thanks for listening.
If you need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.